Praise the Lord and greetings in the matchless and mighty name of Jesus. I am Pastor Johnny Magnus and I am coming to you from Mount Calvary Miracle Temple Apostolic Church at 1004 North Osage, Okmulgee, Oklahoma, 74447. As always, I'm just really glad to be before you. Want to tell you, I'm so grateful that we had a wonderful Father's Day on Sunday. As a father, I felt very blessed to be served and doted upon by Mount Calvary sisters. Amen. The sisters, a few of them were even in the kitchen trying to throw each other out so that one could do work and the other one wouldn't have to. They don't mind working. We had a wonderful meal, amen, wonderful fellowship, and it was just really good. The Lord was in the house on Sunday as he is all the time, amen. And so just want to tell you sisters that did that work and served us, all of the fathers really appreciate you. And I want to tell you fathers, it's appreciated when I look at you, I see that you're not just fathers in title, but you are fathers that are present. You are fathers that do for your children. And you are fathers doing your best to live the life of God before them. And all those things are so important. Somebody had a post, and I know he don't mind me saying his name, but Judge Bonner, Elder Bonner, great preacher. We got to have him here sometime. But he had posted that, you know, a father doesn't have to be perfect. He just needs to be present. Amen. And men and women, as parents, we're going to make mistakes. I mean, we're fallible. We don't know everything. But you know what? It's better that we make a mistake while present there with them than the big mistake of not being there with our children at all. Amen. And when you have love for your children, mistakes are easily forgiven and forgotten. And because of love, you figure out how to do things the right way. So I'm just so grateful for the men of God who I believe to be real fathers, true fathers to their children. Amen. And it's clearly seen if you're looking at any of them. So on Sunday, the message was Jesus is, and the sub theme was, I think I'll give him honor. We concentrated a little bit upon if you want success, spiritual success, how you are to go about having that spiritual success. Many people, because of the charlatan preachers out here, just believe the only success they need is financial, material, health success, but spiritual success is on the back burner somewhere. And I want you to know that we all need spiritual success. Spiritual success allows all of the other types of success, true things that come from the Lord. You know, a lot of things we're just out here taking. We're moving about to do what we want to do, and we have not called upon the name of the Lord. But when you are in God and you have a real relationship with him, then the other things that you have success in, you know they truly came from the Lord, and you are not threatened. You don't feel like anything is going to take away those things because you know they were given to you by the Lord. But when we step outside of God to make sure that we have material and physical and all of that, we don't feel as confident about it. And we're looking over our shoulders in a sense of speaking here. Anyway, I want to go back over a few of the verses that we had on Sunday. I just want to tell you, I thank the Lord for being who he is in my life, in our lives here at Mount Calvary. I thank the Lord for your first lady, my wife, amen. Y'all, she's a good first lady. I think you all know that. It's wonderful to have somebody love the Lord and they love God's people. And the people of God know that she's approachable. She's generous, amen. And she'll help any way that she can. And so that's wonderful. Our ministers and deacons here are extraordinary, as is the saints of God here. I just see God doing some wonderful things. Amen. And you all, your big three, I'm calling them your big three. Elder Gentry, Elder Pope, Elder Campbell, amen. They have great minds and they're sincere about God. And so they are conversing with one another, coming up with ideas and implementing them. And as you can see, the services have been higher. Amen. We felt the presence of the Lord even more. A few souls have been filled with the Holy Ghost. So God is doing something wonderful. He always has, but he's doing something even higher and more wonderful now. Amen. Let's go back to Proverbs 1:7. Because with this verse, I want to establish, as I attempted to do on Sunday, amen, that we have to have the Lord in the right place within our minds, within our souls, because we can't think of God as a human being. We can't think of God as our next door neighbor or anything like that, because he is great. He's all power. Everything belongs to him. He created everything. And if we don't give God the respect that he is due, then we'll also fall short when we need to depend on God for things we want him to do, since we have set limitations upon him by not honoring him on the level he is due to be honored. Then those same limitations will exist when we need him to do something for us. We won't have faith. And we'll get into that a little bit more later on. I see Elder Pope. He said, thanks, Mount Calvary. The Father's Day dinner was a success. Fellowship and food was awesome. Greatly appreciated. Yes, you took the words right out of all the father's mouths. Thank you, Elder Pope. In Proverbs 1:7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So just again, I want to make sure I reestablish this, that this word fear is not us trembling and being afraid of God. Now, we should be if we're not living the way we should. If we're living in sin, we should be afraid of what God might do. But this word is really referencing to revere God, to reverence God, to be in awe of God. And I tell you, there's no way that you could have a real relationship with God. There's no way that you could read his word and study his word and not be in awe of him. There's no way that you could look into the night sky or the day sky and not think, how great is this awesome God that created all of this. There's no way you could look at the moon that's set here and the sun that's set there, and you look at the constellations and not think, how great is God. And so I want us to make sure that we start revering him the way he needs to be revered. And when you reverence God, that is the beginning of knowledge. When you reverence him, that is your pathway. That's your communication line to get what's high, having the ability to be transferred to what is low, and that brings what's low up higher. Amen. We're able to sit in heavenly places with him. Amen. Good to see you all on here. Elder Gentry, Deacon Jones, Sister Jones, First Lady. Good to see you all on here. And so when you reverence God the right way, when you're in awe of him, that gives you the ability to respect what he has to say, to respect what he wants to do. And therefore, he's able to communicate to you. And when he communicates to you, that brings your lower level of knowledge up to a higher level of knowledge. And I don't know about you. I certainly want to know more tomorrow than what I have known today. Amen. I want to be able to take whatever knowledge I think I have today, and I want it to grow tomorrow, and by this time next year, I want it to have doubled, tripled, quadrupled. I don't want it to stay the same. So understand, Jesus is everything. Jesus is sovereign. Jesus is God. Jesus is all power. And when you reverence him for being what he is, that opens up the doorway for you to get more from him. All right. And then we did establish in Psalm 111 and 9, it says he sent redemption unto his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. Too many people, they reduce God down to humanity, and they don't reverence him the way he needs to be reverenced. Look, as I said Sunday, you're not going to take away any power and authority from God, no matter what you call him, but you'll take away his power and authority working in your life if you don't reverence him. So we need to reverence God. He is all power, regardless of if people call him by his name or don't call him by his name. But if I want success in my life, if you want success in your life, don't bring God, who is all power, down to human levels, but reverence him for where he is, his position, in accordance with you in your life. His position is he's God and you are his child. He's God, you are his servant. And a child and a servant looks to the one that's higher than them. They don't question them. They don't analyze them. They don't run what they say through their own processes of their weak and frail minds, but they just accept what he says and know that what he says is the right thing, all right? So again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and the knowledge is that which will help us to be saved and to stay saved. The knowledge is that which will create hope, increase hope, establish hope in us to where our hope in eternity is so established and so grounded and rooted in us that it cannot go away. It will not disappear. It will not fade just because we're going through something, because we understand the depth and the height of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, also on Sunday, I just want to run through a few things real quick. We talked about how that we as mankind, we like to sanction what people say and do because we don't want to bruise their ego. We want to make sure we capture them and make sure they don't run off, and we don't want to offend and hurt anybody. But you know what, people of God, people are drawn to what is sometimes laborious and difficult and hard to do. If it's easy, it's boredom. If it's easy, then there's nothing to attract them. And we need to let folk know that your normal regular language don't cut it with God. Your normal understanding or your fleshly understanding about God is not going to cut it. So you've got to come up higher. Amen. And so we've got to be the people to help take them higher than where they are, letting them know that this language won't do. This mindset won't do. When you come to Christ, you become a new creature. Old things are passed away. So your irreverent attitude and speech from back then are not going to cut it now. And if you think that you're going to be in an established relationship with God through irreverency, then you got to think again. And we that are wise in Christ, that say that we are saved, we've got to find a way of wisdom to let people know that we cannot sanction you bringing God down to the human level. We can't sanction that. We can't sanction you being irreverent in your approach to God in the way that you say things to him. And again, if we're so worried about bruising their ego or offending them, how great do you think it is that when we let them continue with their irreverent behavior and language that they find no success in God? How damaging will that be that they can't find success in God? They can't find a channel of communication with God because we've allowed them to continue in a way that they cannot continue in. They've got to have fear, which is reverence and awe of God. And if we can't be in awe of God, then we better pick up the word And we better start praying and start studying until we find a way to reverence him on the level that he need to be reverenced. Again, what I'm talking about, people have pet names, terms of endearment, and we're going to deal with that a little bit later on. When you have a personal relationship with God, if you really have a relationship with God, your term of endearment is not going to be low and beneath, because God is high and lifted up. So if you have a real relationship with God, your term of endearment for him will be high and lifted up. You won't be bringing him down to a human level, because you understand what your relationship is with him. So we need to check ourselves. If we calling him homie and homeboy and bruh and these different type of things, because a real relationship with God will not allow us to bring him down to such irreverent terms and spaces. So like I said, when you really know him and you honor the authority and power of him in your life, the salvation that he's given you, the power to keep what he has given you, the power of his presence in your life, you will never, ever be so irreverent as to bring him down to humanity. All right. And we covered Acts 4:10-12, where we said, no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That name is Jesus. And if you want success, it comes in the name of Jesus. Whatever your terms of endearment are, because you have a personal relationship with God, just like when we read in the Old Testament, various different of our patriarchs, once they came in contact with God and they saw him in a different way than what they had been told, because now they had a personal relationship with him. So that's why we have these terms, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Shalom, and all of these different names, because as men learn more about God, they added what they knew about God to the term Jehovah. And so we do the same thing. The more you grow in God, the more you understand about him, the more you'll call him your term of endearment. Lord, I love you because you are my counselor. Lord, I love you because you're there for me. Lord, I love you because you're a wheel in the middle of a wheel, talking about strength. All right. And so, but again, your terms of endearment will be terms of endearment on a high level if you really know who the Lord is. Now, success comes in the name of Jesus. So even though you might have great terms of endearment, we got to remember Colossians 3:17. It says, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So again, you have a personal relationship with the Lord. You have terms of endearment, or quote unquote, your pet names. And that kind of helps establish you as you're approaching God. But when you pray, you want to pray in the name of all power, and that's in the name of Jesus. Whatever you do, the Bible says, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. To see the power of God at work, we must do what we do in the name of Jesus. And I ask you Sunday, do we want success? Do we want results? I think we all want success. We all want results. We want the type of results that come from the Lord. The type of results that come from him are untarnished and unfettered. We don't have to worry about anything because it came from the Lord. And since it came from the Lord, it came the right way. We didn't have to sneak. We didn't have to deceive. We didn't have to try to figure this out and that out, because the Lord did that thing for us. All right, now we're going to go to Ephesians 1:21-22. Ephesians 1:21-22. We did not cover this on Sunday. Now, the Bible says here, speaking of Jesus, says, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. You see that? The name of Jesus is far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. You got these people out here now that are, you know, I think Elder Pope brought it out. I think it was a Sunday school, and then he may have brought it out in a message also, where all these people are wanting to try to figure out, you know, they say the name of Jesus is not the right name. It's this name, and they, Yeshua, and the different pronunciations and everything. How many of you that are saved have been calling on the name of Jesus and you have seen success in the name of Jesus? Amen. Now look, my saying Jesus, saying it in this language, is the right name. If I live in Egypt, if I live in Iraq, if I live in Saudi Arabia, if I live in Russia, there's going to be maybe a different pronunciation on how to say it, but I've had success in the name of Jesus. I got saved one day calling on the name of Jesus, and the name of Jesus is what I was baptized in, and it covered and remitted all of my sins. But if you're out there, tell me, has the name of Jesus been the name that has been there for you when you called on his name that you saw success in the name of Jesus? We don't need all of this new and untrue that people are bringing out. And I might deal a little bit later about one of these newer organizations that have cropped up, and they're trying to wipe out everything that you believe in the Bible. And what they do, they pick out certain verses, and now they use the Bible and pick out certain verses, but as soon as you use verses from that same Bible that overcomes what they are saying, because they're using it the wrong way, by the way, well, then they start telling you, well, that verse, this, that, and another, and it was written this way and all that. They got every reason not to believe it, because they want to maintain what their doctrine is, what their and I just call it what it is. It's the religion of a heretic is what they're bringing out. We'll talk about it a little bit later. But look, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. How great is our God? How great is the name of Jesus? How great is it that we've got the right thing? And if we call upon the name of Jesus, we're calling on the name that's above every name that is named, not just in this world, but in any that is to come. All right. Verse 22, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. If Jesus is the head of all things in the church and his name is far above all principality and all power, every name that is named, don't you think I ought to call upon the name of Jesus? Don't you think that's the name that I should be reverencing? Isn't that the name that when I pray that I should ask for things in the name of Jesus? Amen. All right. Revelation 17 and 14. Revelation 17 and 14. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. What is Jesus? He's the Lord of lords, and he's the King of kings, and we need to reverence him as such. We don't need to bring his, you know, who he is, his persona, his character down to humanity. We need to keep him high and lifted up in our mind. Again, no matter what you call him, he is who he is. But if we want this power working in our life, we need to reverence him for who he is. Let me read these bullet points. In the Bible, we see kings given enormous respect. Note, you had certain prescribed ways to approach them. To respect a king, to disrespect a king could mean your life. Here we see Jesus is the King of kings. While he is meek and lowly, he is yet our King, Lord of Lords. Only one is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I think right now, if the King of Monaco came and you were able to shake his hand, you would be so overcome with glee, and you would make sure you wouldn't know how to act. You'd be wondering, should I bow on one knee, and what should I do? Because he's a king, and you probably couldn't wait to put it on Facebook and tell everybody I met the king of this particular country and everything like that. But that king is a man, and he's not the King of Kings, and he's not the Lord of Lords. If you met LeBron James, they call him King James. If you had a chance to meet LeBron James, you'd be trying to whip out your phone to take pictures with him and trying to hold conversation with him as long as you possibly could. And again, couldn't wait to tell everybody you know, I met Bron, I met the King, King James, I met him. But yet he's not the King of Kings and he's not the Lord of Lords. He's a man that's been terribly gifted by God, but God made him, created him. God is the reason why he's here. So how much more awe should we have for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? All right. So please understand what this message is about us holding God in the right place in our minds and in our hearts. And while we are revering men who are flesh and blood and women who are flesh and blood, I ask the question, why can't God get the same level of reverence or higher reverence than what we are giving men and women? Some people I remember, I'm old enough to remember Elvis Presley, and he'll be on stage, and if he even look at one of the girls that's down below the stage, she'll start crying. She might even pass out. And God forbid that he actually touches one of them and touch their hand. They just fall out on the ground. But Elvis Presley was a man. He was fleshly. He had no power to save anybody, no power to heal anybody. He couldn't grant you eternal life, but yet people were passing out and they still telling the story. Those 17-year-old girls back then are 80-year-old women now, and they're still telling the story of how they were touched by Elvis Presley. So again, the reason for bringing forth this message is to let us know that we need to study enough, we need to pray enough, and we need to trust God enough that we'll start revering him on the level that he needs to be revered in us, because that's the only way we're going to have the spiritual success that we need to have in our life to avoid sin, to be able to live holy. Because if we don't walk in the spirit, then we will always fulfill the lust of the flesh. But if we walk in the spirit, walking in the spirit is a high and lifted up thing. We are able to sit in heavenly places. How many of you have prayed in the Holy Ghost and you have felt your closeness to God? And because you were so close to him, you felt a way that you ain't never felt. I don't care how drunk you ever got, how high you ever got, how much in love you ever were with that boy or girl, a man or woman. No matter what your experiences have been in life, none of them were able to match this level of gratitude that you have by being close to God in prayer. You know he's right there. You know he's paying attention to you, that you have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords attention right there. He's listening to you. He's conversating with you. He's communicating to you what he wants you to do. And it's a feeling unlike any other. You're sitting in a heavenly place when you're able to be that close to God. And when you're able to revere him for his authority, his power, and what he does for you in your life, you can experience the success that you should have by being a child of God. In Proverbs 18 and 10, Proverbs 18 and 10, it says here, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. y'all, this scripture verse is saying a whole lot. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. The righteous, those that trust God, that believe God, that understand what's in a name. You know, some people say, what's the big deal about a name? Well, what's the big deal about your name? I tell you, every time I see you, I'm gonna just decide to call you by different names. There's a name is no big deal. I'll just call you any kind of name I feel like every time I see you. And I want to know when you get annoyed, and I want to know why you're annoyed, because I'm not calling you the name that you have been given. And so is something how people say, what's in a name? Let me ask you this. My name is Johnny Magnus. And if somebody was out here, y'all remember that thing with Ed McMahon where he go and they had a van, I guess, where they start going through the neighborhood. People start getting excited because the prize patrol van is coming and everything like that. And if Ed McMahon has stopped at your house and your name is Johnny Magnus, and they get it wrong on the check, because he gonna give you $5,000 a week for the rest of your life. I want to know how quick you gonna correct him on the spelling of your name to make sure they get your name right. You want that name right. You want to be able to receive what comes with your name. Amen. Now, if you're in trouble, you might try to give the wrong name. I don't know. But when you got something coming to you, when you got your paycheck coming to you, you want your name on there. And so we value our name. Let us value the name of the Lord. And the name of the Lord is a strong tower. If you know that name, and not just the pronunciation of it, not just how it's written on a piece of paper, but what comes with the name, what is in the name, amen, then the righteous are able to run into it and they are safe. Why is it? Because you know what's in the name. It's more than just calling on the name. Because we see that in the book of Acts, that some can learn what the name is because they saw other people using the name and they try to use the name, but they don't know what's in the name. They have no trust. Not having trust is proven by the fact that you won't live anything that the word of God is saying. So that shows lack of trust in the name. But when you trust the name of Jesus enough for salvation, for your daily living, I ain't talking about just food. I'm talking about carrying you through and helping you to overcome your flesh, overcome the wiles of the adversary. When you trust that name, you know what's in the name. So you trust the name enough to run into it and be saved. But somebody who's not saved, just saying the name, they just saying it loosely. They don't know what's in the name because they've not allowed the name of Jesus to guide them and direct them in their life. So what's in a name? The righteous run into that name and they are safe. When you pray in the name of Jesus. Again, the scripture says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. And like I said Sunday, it's odd to me how that folk don't want to use the name of Jesus, but when they want money, they know how to pray in the name of Jesus. Name of Jesus ain't good for nothing else, but when I want some money, I know how to pray in the name of Jesus. All right. We've got to do better. All right. What's his name? His name is Jesus. And it is name and not names. N-A-M-E-S. It's not plural. His name is Jesus. So the name of the Lord is a strong tower. What's his name? It's Jesus. The righteous runneth into it and they are safe. All right. His name is Jesus. Now, I have a written bullet point here that I want you to listen to. His name is under attack. His word is under attack from every nook and cranny. Not Buddhism, not Hinduism, not Islam, not Wiccan, not the black Hebrew Israelites, but only the things attached to the name of Jesus. You've got people out here that they'll be on TV and they'll say curse words and you can clearly hear the curse words. But when they give honor to Jesus, it gets bleeped out. You had this man named Dana White get on. Now, he has fighters, and one of the fighters was giving honor and praise to Jesus. And Dana White was rebuking him for doing such. And so everywhere you go, even other religions are attacking the name of Jesus. We don't do anything to them, but they love to attack the name of Jesus. You got the name of Jesus trying to be rooted out of everything. Why is that? Because that's the name of power. And if they can get you to be ashamed of the name of Jesus, if they can get you not to speak the name of Jesus, remember what happened to Peter? Oh gosh, I can't remember who was with Peter in the book of Acts. And the Bible says after they had beaten them, they told them to no longer speak in that name. Well, they didn't agree to that. They went on to speak in the name of Jesus, but their biggest problem was don't speak in that name. Why is there such a concentration on attacking the name of Jesus? Because that's the name of all power. And that's why the enemy is tricking so many people to reduce our great God down to humanity and having these names, calling him man. What up, man? I got names written down here that I think I've heard people say. They say bro, a bruh, man, chief, big dude, man in the sky. God is not a man. One scripture say God is not a man that he should lie. He's not a man. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. All right. We have to have sincere hearts in our worship toward God. And it sounds very insincere to me when people are reducing him down to humanity. I'm just trying to tell you we need to reverence him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That word fear is reverence and awe. And when you reverence and awe God, you will not, if you have a relationship with him, you will not attach names to him that are not names of reverence. All right? In 1 Timothy 6 and 15, it says, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Again, referring to Jesus. That was 1 Timothy 6:15. I just put that in there because I want you to understand he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is not brought. He's not man. He ain't what up, doc. None of that kind of stuff. If you have a real relationship with him, you will not bring him down to the low parts. You will keep him high and lifted up because your real relationship with him reflects who and what he is. In Isaiah 9 and 6, it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, we've got these different names that are associated with Jesus right here. And with all of these different names that we have in the Bible that give him honor and glory, why are people calling him man, bruh, bro, and doc, whatever else that they are trying to call him, because those terms do not revere him. Those terms show that you don't have a personal relationship with God. If you have a personal relationship with God, you'll be saying things like this, my counselor, the mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, because in a real relationship with God, he is revealed unto you with these very same things, all right? People of God, let's make sure that we honor God. If we want success, spiritual success, it comes in the name of Jesus. If you have terms of endearment for God, that is only natural because how you are, where you live, the things that you have gone through, the hurts that you have had, the victories that you have had, all those things culminate for you to have terms of endearment for the Lord. But your terms of endearment are not going to be low and beneath. They're going to be high and lifted up. And that's how you see whether a person really have a relationship with God or if they're a casual. Now in the sports world, if somebody don't call LeBron James the greatest ever, these people, they call you a casual. In other words, they're accusing you of not being a true fan of the game. So they call you a casual. And so I would have to call you a casual if you just have these flippant type of terms for the Lord. You're casual. But those who have a real relationship with the Lord, they're not casual like that, because they keep him high and lifted up in their hearts and in their minds. Let me read this, what I wrote. Those who have a real relationship with him understand his power and his position in relation to them. Therefore, our terms of endearment are based on knowing who he is in our lives. All right. So God brings you victory. God delivers you from sin. God counsels you through the darkest and ugliest hours of your life. God encourages you. He lifts you up. He brings you joy in the midst of pain, sadness, and sorrow. So the one who does all this is just going to be man? Bruh? No, I don't think so. I think his name is Jesus, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. We've got to have a term of endearment that expands who he is to everyone. And so I got on here something to the effect of First Lady is on here. And First Lady will tell you, I only call her, I basically call her hon. You know, she's my wife. To me, she is my friend, my wife. She's a gentle, soft lady. And I'm not going to be calling her dude or man. You know, I see now in the modern terminology, you'll see a man talking to his wife, talking about, bruh, I don't know what in the world that's about, but I ain't never calling my wife bruh. She ain't no bruh. She's my wife. I call her hun. I think I've called her babe a few times, but that just really don't fit my personality to say that. But she's my honey. She's my baby. She's my soft, gentle spouse. And I'm not going to call her things that don't reflect who and what she is in my life. Amen. She ain't never going to call me girl. I ain't no girl. I'm a man. She's not going to call me any feminine terms because I'm a man. And I'm not afraid to tell you I'm an alpha. All this stuff that they got going on now in the world, they want every man to be a beta. Women got attracted to the man because of his alpha, but then once they get him, they want to turn him into a beta. We'll cover that some other time. But men are men and women are women. And stop trying to feminize men and stop trying to masculate women. Be who you have been made to be and not who you decide you want to change yourself into. I'm not a beta. Now, being an alpha don't mean I go around beating my chest like King Kong talking about I'm the man of the house. But I know who I am. I'm confident in who I am. And it doesn't make a difference what somebody decide to call me or disrespect me. I know who I am. God knows who he is. But I guarantee you, you can get something from him when you reverence him the right way. When he is reverenced here and here, you can move God to do the things that you need God to do or want God to do. Amen. If my wife wanted something from me and approached me and said, girl, boy, we're going to have a hard time trying to figure out what it is that she wants and how I'm going to get my mind right to give it to her, because I ain't no girl. I'm just using this for an example, y'all. My wife would never do that. I'm just trying to use an earthly situation so you understand that God needs to be reverenced. Amen. Our relationship with God is one where we reverence him, not where we bring him down to humanity. All right. And neither should we sanction and okay that for anybody else. All right. Matthew 1, verses 21 through 23. Matthew 1, verses 21 through 23. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The name Jesus here is told by an angel of the Lord. If the angels and his parents were to call him Jesus, what should we call him? You got the angels and his parents, when he's being birthed into the world, calling him Jesus. What should we call him? And it says here, he shall save his people from their sins. When I was born, I didn't have no people. When you was born, you didn't have no people either. And we're going to that another time. Verse 22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now, being called Emmanuel is really, again, going back to Proverbs 1 and 7, where it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. To call him Emmanuel, we call him Jesus, but this is spelling out who he is and how he should be revered and how powerful the name of Jesus is. Emmanuel meaning that he is God with us. God chose to take on a form so that he could be right here among us, and his body would be the perfect sacrifice for us. We got one more scripture passage left here, and I want to get to it, but one more bullet point. When we reverence Jesus at the level he should be reverenced, we have faith in him that he can do anything. Again, if you start applying lowly, beneath human terms to our great God, there's a great chance, an overwhelming chance, that along with this low human terminology will also come a low faith in what he's able to do. You see, if I wake up at 2 a.m. With my mind troubled and he's my homeboy, well, then my faith is going to be limited to what my homeboy would be able to do. But if he's God Almighty, whom I reverence as that, then I know that he can come and counsel me in my situation that I'm in. So let's keep God in our minds and in our hearts where he belongs, so that we can have faith and trust him for what he's able to do. Because without faith, we cannot get anything. If you don't have faith, you can't receive anything of the Lord. And so also without faith, it's impossible to please him. And if we've got him down to human terminology, we also going to bring down our faith in what he's able to do. All right, let's go to John, the first chapter, verses 1 through 4, and we'll be done. John, the first chapter, verses 1 through 4. Good to see you, Sister Day. Amen. Always good to see you. And I'm counting down the time for you to come back to Oklahoma. We miss you. Amen. We miss the kids. Amen. And if you've got a new phone number, Sister Day, text it to me, on my phone, so I'll know I have the right number. All right. All right. St. John, the first chapter, verses 1 through 4. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. How much reverence would you have for somebody who, let's say you're homeless or you're close to being homeless, and they decide to buy you a house? You know what? I'm gonna just buy your house over here, free and clear. You don't owe me anything. This is your house. I tell you what, I think that person's name would live on throughout generations in your family. You would have great reverence and respect for them. You would love them like it would be a different type of love and respect than you have with other people, because they saw your need and said, you know what? This house is for you over here, and you don't owe me anything, and I just want to do it for you because I love you. I think that you would hold a special place for that person in your heart. Amen. Here it is. The scripture is telling us all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Every single thing that you're looking at, it is because of Jesus. Amen. Everything you're able to do, the slightest function that you're able to do with your body, with your hands, every step that you take, every breath that you take, everything is because of Jesus. How much reverence should we give him? How much awe should we have of him when he's the one that made everything? Without him was nothing made that was made. And this last verse, verse 4 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. He is that which is pulsating inside of you. He's your heartbeat. He's your ability to think. But more than your heartbeat and your ability to think, he is your salvation. He is your strength to be able to walk this life the way that you do. When you resist temptation, that's not your strength. That's the strength of God. I know many a times that I didn't have strength within myself, but God was able to cover me. I felt his presence surrounding me, and it kept me from doing what I would have done. And then somebody else might come along and pat me on the back and say, man, you are strong. No, I ain't strong. It's the power of God that overcame me and blessed me to be able to do whatever it is that I am doing. And I want us to see how we need to look at God, look to God, how we need to reverence God and be in awe of him. I want you to look at a blade of grass and say, you know what? God did that. And I remember after I was newly saved, and the young brothers in Mount Zion, we all went out one time to a pizza place. We didn't get to go out very often. We were really broke. We hardly had enough money to be able to go out anywhere, but we enjoyed our life in Jesus. Amen. We enjoyed being friends with one another and talking about the things of God, and everything about God we were just in awe of. Anything we said, any scripture that was quoted was something magnificent to us. All right. We were impenetrable at that point because everything about God was awesome. So since God was so awesome, sin was just bouncing off. It couldn't attack us the way it wanted to attack us because we were in awe of God. And I remember one time we went into a place, and one brother sat his Bible down, another one sat his Bible on top of that one, and everybody stacked their Bibles because we carried our Bibles everywhere we went. Amen. At that time, we didn't have enough word to hide in our heart. We had to have it with us. Amen. Anyway, Bibles were stacked up real high. And one of the brothers that we've had here to preach, Elder Brian, he said, look at all that power, looking at the Bibles stacked up on one another. Now, look. The older saints would look at us and say, look at them stupid little kids. I'm sure they didn't call us stupid, but you know, we were so zealous and so fired up. And older saints would look at us and like, oh, they'll get over that soon enough. But I don't think it's something that you ought to get over. I think it ought to always be like that, where you're always finding something to be in awe with God about. Anything you look at, anything that God does ought to have you so geared up, you can't wait for testimony service to be able to tell the people of God, this is what the Lord did. This is what the Lord showed me. This is the victory that I gained this week. This is the deliverance that I have. Because we ought to be fired up about the things of God. Just like when we was in the world, when we were able to get those tickets to the concert, we was fired up and telling everybody. And then once we went to the concert, music didn't even have to be that good. We were just glad to be there and told everybody we was at the concert. How come we can't translate that now to the things of God? I was in service on Sunday and the power of the Lord was moving in that place. I can't wait until the doors are open again. I can't wait until we have prayer on Friday night, because I want to experience that same thing. People of God, look, Jesus is, and I think he deserves the honor. And Jesus is what? He's all power, all authority. Jesus is merciful. He's full of grace. Amen. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. He is the mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the everlasting Father, the Rose of Sharon, the wheel in the middle of the wheel, all of these different things. And we need to find our way to be in awe of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And when we do, I guarantee you, saints, you'll be walking in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You will not have the troubles and disturbances of mind and spirit that you may have formerly had, because you're so geared up about the Lord that these things are not able to affect you like they once were. Amen. So God is good. Look, we have prayer on Friday night. I don't know if we're able to have it in person or not, but we definitely will have it on the phone. And then I want to find a way, First Lady, and Elder Pope and Elder Gentry, if y'all could help me think about this. Even when we have it in person, I want to find a way to those that cannot travel to still be a part of it. Amen. Without us putting it on Facebook, I want to do it on the phone some kind of way, but without being on Facebook. And I know y'all's brains are working right now, and you'll have an idea and tell me about it. But we will have prayer at 7 o'clock on Friday. Now listen, saints, I need y'all to pray for me and the other 250 employees where I work. Everybody's kind of out of work right now because of the storm that came through, and it knocked off the power, and the power is not back on yet. And I'm blessed enough where I have vacation time, but a lot of those people, they don't have vacation time, and they're just gonna lose out altogether. So be praying for, and I don't know who else. I think there's a lot of other businesses that are shut down. Pray for people to get back to work and be able to have electricity in their homes to function properly. Amen. To have the money to repair things that were broken. And pray for these crews that are working and working and working. It's dangerous because they're working with electricity. And I know that they're working a lot of hours. So be praying that the Lord keep them safe, because once you start getting tired, sometime you think you did something and you didn't. And you all know the results can be catastrophic. So saints, just be praying for all of those out of work, those that are working to get people back to work and back to normal function in their homes. Amen. And I'll be hearing your voices, I pray, on Friday night at 7 o'clock. Love you, people of God. All God, reverence God, find something to be delighted in God about. Amen. Keep yourself fascinated in the things of God.